You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Pastor Jerome Ryan, the founder and CEO of the Love Center. We've been serving the region for over 30 years, helping families rebuild their lives. We're expanding our services. The Workforce Discipleship Center providing housing for the working class homeless. Yes, repeat, for the working class homeless, for single men and single women. We are offering financial literacy and strategies along with spiritual discipleship. For more information, please call the Workforce Discipleship Office at 772-207-6925. Again, 772-207-6925. Our staff is waiting to assist you or someone you know.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. You're listening to WCNO 89.9. It's 5 o'clock Friday. Woo! I'm sure people are driving home from work. Everybody's in a good mood. They listen to us in a good mood. And if you're not, you will be now. Amen, right? So we were going to be talking about prophecy, the gift of prophecy, but we have our special guest, Pastor Apostle Tom Carrez is here. And we're at the King's Table with Jesus. Hi, Jesus. And we will be talking about a topic today, the difference between the gospel of our works and God's work, his works. And so before we start that, I want to read a scripture to get us going and get our minds stirred up and our hearts pumping and flowing with the word of God. It's in Romans 10, and I'll start at 15. Actually, I'll start at 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I'll stop there. So, Pastor,
you want to
start us off so we can get this boat flowing?
Yeah, I just felt like I wanted to talk about the gospel of the kingdom of God. And the most important thing was in Matthew 24, when I was reading that one time after I got born again and I was filled with the Spirit. It talks about the end times. You know, everybody's always talking about the end times.
Yeah.
If something blows up, it's the last days. If Y2K happens at the last day, if everything happens. But in this, the disciples in Matthew 24 were actually asking Jesus about the end time. And Jesus, of course, said there'll be earthquakes and there'll be all these things that'll be taking place. But all these would be the beginning of the end times.
Amen.
And most people stop there and they don't say, well, he just didn't answer the question that they asked him. But if you keep reading, he actually did answer the question. In verse 24, they were asking when the end would come. And Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then...
Amen.
Shall the end come? So he didn't answer the question, but notice what he said. He said, this gospel, not any gospel.
That's right.
He said, this gospel of the kingdom of God. So in order for the end to come, until you hear the kingdom of God being preached all over into all nations, then you don't have to worry about the end being here because it's not here yet.
That's right.
Because that's what Jesus said. So since that time, I started studying the good news of the kingdom of God, and I found out that it helped me get unconfused.
Amen.
In the gospels that I was hearing before that. Because when I got saved, you know, you go someplace and you hear the good news about healing and you're all
right.
excited, and then they do the good news about peace. Well, by the time I understood the good news about peace, I'd forgotten the good news about healing. and then they wanted the good news of joy. And by the time I got joy, I lost my peace and I was sick again. And,
yeah.
and it kept going around. And the kingdom of God, you know, when Jesus came, the very first thing he preached was repent. In other words,
Amen.
Change your way of thinking, because
right.
the kingdom of God is now here. And then in Mark chapter 1:15, he makes that even easier. He says, repent, but he says, and believe
That's
the
right.
good news of the kingdom. Well, it's awful hard to believe the good news of the kingdom if you don't know what the good news of the kingdom is. It's going to be very difficult to do that. So as I studied the word of God and saw it, I started studying what Jesus said, because
mm-hmm.
he's the one. If anybody preached the kingdom of God, it was Jesus. If you go through,
mm-hmm.
you read the red words in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all he talked about was the kingdom of
That's
God.
Right.
It's amazing to me that he never talked about himself that much, which most of the church talks about Jesus, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that's still not the kingdom of God
That's
teaching.
Right.
That is a talk about our Lord and Savior, who definitely got us into the kingdom of God. So as I studied Jesus' words in the red, and he talked about the kingdom of God and what was going on, and in Luke 16:16, he says, you know, that the let's just read it.
Yeah.
My goodness sakes,
definitely.
We can do that, can't we?
Yes.
Praise
sure.
God. All right, Luke 16:16, Jesus said, the law and the prophets were until John, talking about John the Baptist. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it.
Amen.
So he's having a timeline here. He's saying, up at first, we were talking about the law and the prophets, the law
mm-hmm.
and the prophets until John the Baptist. Well, we all know John the Baptist already came, was already here. He says, up until that time. But now, in the day and hour, we're supposed to be preaching not the law and the prophets, but the kingdom of God. And when we do, every man will press into it. And the problem is, since we're not preaching the kingdom,
right.
nobody's really pressing into the church much. They come for a little while, then they leave, but they don't understand that there's a different gospel out there that's really good news
mm-hmm.
in everything. And before I knew about the kingdom of God, I was really under the gospel of what I want to call Christianity. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's truth. But the problem is, it's a gospel that makes you want to impress God or earn things from God
right.
or do works for God so that God will bless me, God will heal me, God will anoint me, God will do all these things. And of course, you know, I was zealous for God. So, I mean, if somebody told me to stand on one leg in the corner and lift up my arm and scream bloody at the moon, you know, and God was going to do something, I would do it, you know,
mm-hmm.
if that's what God, it was going to take for God to do something. But when I studied the kingdom of God and I found out that when you're born again, he never talked about heaven, but he talked about entering the kingdom of God. So when I entered the kingdom of God, I started studying about the kingdom of God and all the things that I was trying to do through my works, basically, were things that he had already done on the cross. So they already belonged to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I no longer did the works gospel of, oh, you know, try to, and all my prayers were, no, I went to church twice now, Lord, you owe me this, and I was a good boy yesterday, and I haven't yelled at my wife now for three straight days, so I deserve healed and all this, and everything was a qualification came. And a lot of times I didn't know if I was doing enough or I was doing too much for God. You know, I didn't want to wear him out. But then again, I wanted to impress him enough to get God to do something in my life. So whatever it took, you know, if I had to dress up, if I didn't have to dress up. And it's so confusing. I mean, it'll wear you out trying to do all this stuff. But when I learned about the kingdom of God and Jesus came along, you know, he made it very simple. He said, hey, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to seek first the kingdom of God gospel. And right alignment with that gospel, and that I will take care of everything that you need. Mm-hmm. And those are the things I focused on from there on out. I wasn't worried about peace and joy and all this stuff. I was just going to seek the kingdom of God. That's right. What happened to me when I got in? What belongs to me when I got in? And how to walk in the things that God actually has already mm-hmm. done for me. Well, you know, that took my prayer list and just ripped it in 42 pieces. Because he was supposed to take care of my mortgage. He was supposed to take care of my car payment. He was supposed to take care of my kids' payment. He was supposed to take care of all this. Mm-hmm. And he comes along. And first of all says, why are you worrying about these things?
Amen.
Which the whole church worries about these things,
everything.
Prays about these things, spends their whole time about these things. He said, if you'll just switch that to going after the kingdom, living in right standing with that kingdom in right alignment, then he is responsible to take care of everything in your life. Now, this took a lot of weight off me because I was no longer responsible to take care of a lot of things in my life that I was trying to take care of. Basically, I'd made him Lord and Savior of getting saved, but of nothing else. I thought I was Lord and Savior of my finances and of everything mm-hmm. else. So basically when that adjustment took place and my priority shifted, it seemed like there's an ease. It's like I got resaved. Remember when you got saved, everything was lifted off your shoulders and you're just so happy. And then I went back into religious stuff like that. I was so burdened down again, mm-hmm. but I was still saved, but I wasn't going anywhere. But then when I understood the kingdom, it's like everything was lifted off of me again, and Christianity was no longer there. It was more like kingdom, and God was so good, mm-hmm. and he was my daddy, and I was his kid, mm-hmm. and he provided all this stuff, and it just changed the joy and everything that I was searching for.
That's right. And you know, when you were saying, you know, like if they told me to stand in the corner, I get it, you know, because our instinct, our, you know, we're born into Adamite with this thinking, the old thinking, we will pray hard, study hard, but the motive is what changes the whole works, basically. Mm-hmm. So, and you can get blessed, but it's external blessings, and they're not eternal. So the motive of the heart is, and then this is where the enemy is very cunning, because he can take that and make it appear like you're doing it for God. Because you're doing good things, right? But you might not be doing it in the right order, and the motive, you know, to get myself, you know, to know more. It's very, very cunning. And that's why we can be fooled very easily by the enemy, because we are designed, God designed us to want to serve and work, but unto him. So when we do come in, like when I came in, I wanted to study. And sometimes you get lost in yourself mm-hmm. when you're doing too much. And when it truly clicked, the light went on for me, the revelation of God's purposes for the kingdom, for my purpose to be here, everything got simpler, easier, less, like there wasn't as much in my life, people, places, and things. And the things that we do seek for are the basic needs of our life. And God says that's the simple stuff for him. Like, that's a given. Like, you know, it's like the birds when he talks about the birds and the flowers. I mean, he wants us to be socially fit, security, and then to produce what he's pouring into us. You know, and to me, that's like what the things are that we're constantly seeking. What can I get? What can I have? How can I get it? You know, who's going to like me? It's like all these things fitting in, having your social, because we talk about it even in when we're talking about the 12 steps and everything, about the fourth step is addressing our fears, which is our security, addressing our resentments, unforgiveness, which is our social environments. Like, are we stable in our social things, we're choosing wrong people, we're, you know, doing all those things. And then the last part is harms done to other. If I'm constantly hurting people, mm-hmm. I can't produce with you, you know. And the kingdom of God, that whole mindset changed, and then it became about producing for God and not for myself. It's not about what I can get, it's about what I can give unto the Lord. And then giving the word, like coming here and sharing, This is easy. This is the easy part of my life, and it looks like the most committed, like a difficult thing to be doing this. But this mm-hmm. is the most fun stuff in my life. Mm-hmm. It gets fun yep. when the shift happens, you know.
Yeah, and Jesus knew we were going to mess it up because he yeah. said, all you who labor and are wearing yourself out, he mm-hmm. said, just come to me. My yoke is easy
yes.
and my burden's light. Well, there was nothing light and yokey for me at all exactly. when I was first. And because I'd go to one sermon and they tell you, well, just lift up your hands real high and God will do it for you. So during that whole, I had my hands lifted way high. Mm-hmm. And this guy, lay prostrate before the Lord. Right. And I'm laying on my face down there. And it was all just to try to manipulate God or impress God to right. give me something. Right. But when I learned about the kingdom of God and found out that everything I was trying to get, I had already gotten by entered the kingdom of God. And then, you know, faith. Faith, I was taught, you got enough faith. You know, God gives you money. He gives you this. He gives you that. He'll bless you. He'll do all these things. So when I study the word and I'm quoting the word, as soon as I get enough faith, I'm going to get blessed. And I'm praying in tongues and I'm doing everything. But I wasn't getting blessed. Then I felt guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reason I didn't have enough faith,
right.
so God wasn't blessing me. So if I just quoted the word more, I wasn't doing enough, you know. And I'd wear myself out and said, maybe I'm doing too much. And I said, I'm blessed too many times, and God's wore out. Now he's not going to bless me. And not understanding that the kingdom of God and faith is not you trying to get something from God. Mm-mm. It's that you have already received when you entered the kingdom of God. All these benefits were given to you freely by God because he wanted me actually to succeed.
Yes.
And he didn't want me fighting. And it's the same way with salvation, you know. We try to get saved.
Right.
We try to be good little boys. Are you saved? No, but I'm very good, so I know. No, you can be as good as you want, and you're going right. to hell unless you're born again and you're
That's
in the
right.
kingdom of God. That's
Amen.
Just the way it is. So once you get born again, you can't go back into that same mindset, that same works, or you're going to live someone who's saved like they're not. I mean, the peace ain't going to be there.
No, it's
the joy,
stressful.
The guilt's
right.
going to be there. The
That's
condemnation's
right.
going to be
uh-huh.
there. It just makes it very difficult.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, for me, I found out that it is through my – and the faith that I have is about activating what I believe. It's like I believe that. So the more we hear the word, the more we can – our faith grows actually because we believe it. Like it's anything. I could believe the wrong thing and, you know, really like run for that. So it's what we're willing to put ourselves – expose ourselves to. And when you expose yourself to God's word daily, because that's what he asks us to do – through prayer, meditation, even I practice just walking without a phone with the Lord, like little ways to enhance my relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about the things, the going to church, even though I enjoy going to church. You know, it's part of being part of a body, and it's very important that we go to church. You know, it's a time where there might be someone else that's in need. It's a place where the body, maybe the pinky needs a Band-Aid, you know, and the thumb,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's very important that we have fellowship. God's designed us to have fellowship. He's designed to have fellowship. When Jesus came, he got 12 men. He multiplied himself, you know, to fellowship, to be able to do what he was going to teach them to do. So discipleship is really important, too. And it is. It's where you're going, what kind of information you're getting. And if they're not talking about the kingdom of God and what it's like to be in the kingdom, then you may want to, like you said, Pastor Tom, read just the red and learn for yourself and then let the Holy Spirit teach you and lead you and guide you. Because even if you're in a church and you're hearing this for the first time, it doesn't mean you should leave your church.
No.
We're just saying go open up the word and read just Jesus and hear, let him teach you. And he's the best teacher.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, him and the Holy Ghost do a pretty good job.
Oh, yeah,
usually.
They do. Yeah. Yeah, they're a good team.
Yeah, and even in my life when I was back before I knew about the kingdom of God, it was like a kingdom of demand.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you got to do this. You better go to church. I'll tell you right now, you better pray. You're not reading a word. James, you better read the word. I'm telling you right now. It was all demand. But then once I got in the kingdom of God, I found out that God was offering me things, not demanding me
right.
to do things.
Right.
So I got saved and born again. And he said, I said, well, you know, I don't really feel like drinking anymore, but I always drank. That's what I do with my guys and everything. And the Holy Spirit said, go ahead if you want to.
Uh-huh.
It's up to you. You're in the kingdom of God. You're born again. He said, but I'm going to offer you a better way of life.
Mm-hmm.
If you just get out of your drinking and quit drinking and start studying my word and seek the kingdom of God, you're going to have a lot better life. If you keep drinking, you might be dead at 50, 45. I mean, God said it's up to you.
Right.
Whatever you want to do, I'm not going to tell you what you have to do.
Right.
And when he offered it to me as an offer and saying, hey, the first thing I realized, he was on my side.
Yeah.
Until that time, I thought it was me against him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was definitely losing. Because
right.
I wasn't getting anything.
Yeah.
So basically, it was an offer to me. So that's it. I don't feel like drinking anymore. He changed my nature on the inside. I'm done drinking. I don't want to spend my money on it. Don't want to do anything. And it was an offer that he gave me to improve my life. So
that's
he's never come to me and said, like we've been taught, you better do that or you better do this. You better. God's not a you better God. God's not putting guilt and condemnation on you. He's offering us things
that's
in
right.
our life. And a lot of people I hear argue about tithing all the time. Well, if you don't want to tithe, don't.
Right.
Don't. You don't. You. If you get born again and you don't tithe, it doesn't mean you're going to go to hell.
That's right.
You're going to go to heaven, but you're going to go poor to heaven because he offers you something. He said, you want to become part of a real rich kingdom? You want me to be take mm-hmm, care of you? Mm-hmm. Then you go ahead and tithe, and I'll tell you what, I am going to open the windows of heaven.
Amen.
But if you don't want them opened,
right.
you go ahead. You just keep working 16 hours a day, you know, all week long and see how you make out with all your money. And so once again, he was offering me wealth at that time.
Right.
And that was different because I didn't want to give up my money at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have that much money at that
right.
time, and 10% seemed like 110% to me half the time. So basically, I just said, well, that's it. We're tithing from now on. And when I did, and you don't even know how it happens because it's God and it's spiritual things. All
that's
at once,
right.
blessings come in. The money comes in. You got a bank account for a change for the first time
mm-hmm.
in your life. Why? Because he offered it. Now, if you don't want to tithe, praise God. Good for you. But I'm telling you what, I'm telling you right now, it works.
It does work.
And I'm not saying that because I'm a pastor, because it worked before
that's
I became
right.
a pastor. And it just works in your life. So he says, you want to be part of my finances? You want me to take over? Then go ahead and tithe. But you can say, no, I don't believe in that. Well, that's fine. Don't believe in it. But then you're going to be in a fight down here to have money and do what you want to do.
Right. And, you know, the God's word works on all people. If they line up in agreement, it's an agreement. It's about participating in the kingdom. That's what that is. When we tithe, when we're, serving, forgiving someone, we're actually participating to partake in what he's already given to us.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, it's the riches of our hearts. It's not about what it looks like out here. It's about how the interior, the inner man has the kingdom and the freedom and the peace and the joy, which is priceless. There's no value for that except for kingdom value, which is incredible. It's limitless. You know, and you can always tap in whenever you need. You could partake in joy. You could partake in anything that you're feeling that is being taken from you. And only we have the power, because the power lives in us, to give up our joy and our peace. So we have to make those decisions. It is our decision. So if you want to partake and be a participant in the kingdom, then follow the things that he gives us a manual so that it would be easy living in the kingdom. And the only time that there's testing in my life, it's really testing my faith in what I believe about God. It's not God testing me. It's the word testing me. It's the world trying to come in between me and the word,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's up to me to stand on the word so that my faith is stronger, you know.
And that's how the enemy, you know, comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's right.
I mean, he can't steal something you don't have. So when I found out in the kingdom that I had it, then I understood that he was trying to steal it.
Exactly.
But before that, I didn't have it. I didn't care if he stole it anyway because
right.
I didn't have it to begin with because
yeah.
I was still trying to get it.
Yeah.
So and the key word, as you said there, is partake.
Amen.
The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, I think verse 12, it says you can partake
Amen.
Of his inheritance
mm-hmm.
or your inheritance. That means to take part in
right.
your inheritance. That means you have an inheritance,
mm-hmm.
but you can either take part in that inheritance or not take part. Then he tells you you've got the divine nature. You need to partake of that divine
Amen.
Nature,
That's
not
right.
get, not earn, take part in, and you do that simply by believing that he's already changed your nature, that he's already provided you an inheritance,
mm-hmm.
that it already belongs to you. And when you start believing that stuff, you'll activate it and you'll start acting like someone who's partaking in the divine nature.
That's right.
In other words, you won't have to fight to love someone because love is the nature you have,
Amen.
And it'll go into operation in your life and you just start naturally loving people, even the worst people.
That's right.
Because that's the nature that's really on the inside
uh-huh.
of you.
Uh-huh.
But if you say, oh, Lord, give me more love and I'll love them. Give me this and I'll love them. He's not going to give you any more love. You've got the love. You need to partake of the love, joy, peace you have inside of you, and then it manifests through you from the inside out.
That's right. He wants to manifest through us, and that's exactly the key. The key is, how can I join you, God, in your work and what you're doing today? Because he's always working. Jesus says it. My Father's always working, and I'm always working because he is, and he works through me, and he wants to work through us. So it does take an adjustment to partake and to participate with God and what he's doing in your life. Because first of all, if I have a problem in my life, 90% of it, it's because I'm part of the problem. Mm-hmm. And that means I'm not living in the truth of what God, because God doesn't put problems in my life. So if I'm in a problem, it's because I'm believing some sort of lie, I'm in an unbelief, or I haven't gotten the information yet, and I'm in the dark. And then it's my responsibility to sit with the Lord and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide me into all truth, and that's in the Word. And all you have to do, instead of Googling this, I Google God, and I say, what does God say about fear? What does God say about bitterness? If I'm feeling, gossip, it comes on, you want to tell somebody and you got to watch yourself, or what I was going to say? And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. Pride. Pride's a big one when,
I told you so.
I told you so. Yeah. I have an opportunity. We were joking around and I'm like, I have an opportunity to say that, but I would never partake in that. I choose to partake with what the Lord says.
I tried to tell you.
right?
That's a whole pump yourself up thing. I was right.
Yeah, no, I don't. I choose to partake in the way God, and God says just sometimes you need to stay silent.
Mm-hmm. He wants to hear, I told you so,
Exactly.
Anybody? Oh, I love when I'm told.
Yeah, that's hard when you're always right. It really makes it tough to deal with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I was wrong once. I thought I was wrong. I turned out to be right. So in a way, I was wrong.
Yeah, let's talk about a James topic here. God says, if you forgive, mm-hmm. I'll forgive you and I'll answer your prayers. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've been praying and praying and God just don't hear me. And who you mad at? Everybody. God told you to forgive.
True.
You don't know what they did to me, right. Or you wouldn't be forgiven either. Well, there you go. God's offering. Uh-huh. If you forgive, I am able to forgive. It's not God saying, well, if you don't forgive, I'll tell you, I'm going to squash you. No, it's a spiritual law.
You want to be
you
free.
Forgive,
right.
You reap forgiveness. That's the way it works. So people, and a lot of people in the church walking in unforgiveness, mm-hmm. wondering why they can't contact God, why they can't get their prayers answered, why they're walking and they feel terrible, they're in guilt, they don't get healed, they don't get blessed.
That's the first question we ask people.
Yeah.
And is there anyone you don't forgive? Because that's the big one. That's why it's so, he enhanced it. It like pops up out of the Bible. About forgiveness. It's very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot. That's over and over. And in Matthew 18:23-35, it not only threw him in prison, threw his wife in prison, threw his
kids
in prison.
Yeah, it affects your whole family.
And everything he owned, your finances.
Yeah, so exactly. It's like a weed.
So
it'll come in.
A lot of times it's not faith. A lot of times it's unforgiveness.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Oh, you just don't understand what they did to me,
exactly.
You two. Neither one of you.
Yeah.
Or when they
I ain't listening to this show anymore, I'll tell you that.
Or they tell you this terrible story, like, man, how long did that happen? Oh, 73 years ago when I was 2 years old.
You know.
Yeah. Or I forgave, but let me tell you what happened, boy. I'll tell you what.
Forgive, but I don't forget.
Yeah, just forgive.
Yeah, and that's,
I mean,
that's
just obey the word and forgive. It's not
that's
that difficult.
It.
It's basically your will, mm-hmm. to forgive someone else, pray for them in a positive
that's
way,
right.
and clean yourself out and go on with God. I mean, God's offering all these things for us, and we're making it so difficult. It's just the way it is sometimes.
Yeah, it's just about relationship, though, because if you're not really trying to have a relationship with him, how can you forgive? Because you're
right.
Really only forgiven for him. You know what I mean? It's because he told you to, and knowing that he's forgiving and loving you is when we forgive, we're forgiven. And if you don't really, if you're just going to church, you're not really trying that relationship, it'd be hard to forgive. I mean,
yeah,
because I do it totally for him.
It's only, because forgiveness lives in us too. It's his forgiveness pouring out of us. But if we don't receive his forgiveness for us, like whatever, if I choose, this is the way I kind of interpret the way it goes. If I choose not to forgive, it's because I'm deep down not believing God forgave me. because I'm not partaking in what he's already giving me to give to another person. So I'm not producing the way God wants me to produce in the heart. Now, in the head, I can say I forgive somebody and, you know, but deep down, you know. But if you allow God's forgiveness to flow through you, it's a lot easier. And then you forget it. It's over. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not, even if you see that person, it doesn't come up. Mm-hmm. It's like freedom. That's true forgiveness.
True freedom.
Right? Yep. Mm-hmm. So let me just read another scripture in Ephesians 2, 8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of your own selves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast," which would be pride. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So that's the whole point. Walking, he prepared the gospel for us beforehand. We should be walking gospels mm-hmm. for God. You know, so you need to, you don't need to do anything. You need to make a decision. That's the only thing you have to do, really, to either choose to know the difference between what it, like a false prophet, what the word says and what the world says about things, because we get caught up in the world. I was saying I didn't want to get caught up in something with Pastor before the show started. I was like, I just don't want to get caught up in that whole, like, should I do this? Do I have to do that? I'm going to let it go before it even, I'm going to nip it before it even becomes something that I can get tangled up in, you know? And we have to make these choices beforehand, whether you're at work, in a disagreement. Is it worth getting tangled up in those weeds? Sometimes you have to turn the other cheek and just say, I'm sorry. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about sharing God's gospel with someone. Saying you're sorry, even if you are right, is a blessing. You're blessing someone. You're allowing God to bless someone, to be glorified through you, because every one of us knows the truth deep down in our heart. You know, we know when we've offended someone or we said something. We can try to justify it, but the other person will probably be a little taken off a little, like, oh, wow, I got an apology, taken back. By it.
Yeah, Jesus was 100% right and owned 100%
exactly.
of our wrong. So
yeah,
as we do that, we're demonstrating the gospel.
And we're supposed to follow him, and following him is, he does it first, then we do it. That's what follow means to me. So everything. So if you don't know what Jesus done for you, listening right now, find out. Because it makes it a lot easier to follow someone that you can see, you can hear, and you can have an example of what they're doing, you know, practical knowledge, right?
And there's so many things that is accepted in Christianity that when you get in kingdom, you find out it's not accepted anymore. And one of those things that's accepted in Christianity in every place is simple worry.
Right.
If you worry, oh, you're just so concerned, uh-huh. you just love them so much, you know. But Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. That's Jesus said, why do you worry about what you eat and drink? He's the one that said, cast all your cares onto me. But we just say, well, those are nice scriptures, but I'm going to go ahead and worry anyway. Well, then you're worried about this and worried about that and worried. And then once your body starts falling apart and you wonder why, because you're worried about this and worried about that.
That's
and worried,
right.
And you're getting the results of that. And then you want to pray for healing. Well, God said, if you wanted to worry to begin with, you wouldn't need healing because you're worried about everything. It's taking care of your emotions. Just take care of your feelings. That no worry. When you get in the kingdom of God, you will recognize worry.
That's right.
And you'll say, "Hey, I don't do that.
Do
I ain't worrying that. I ain't got time to do that. Mm-hmm. For goodness sakes! And plus, I've worried for years, and all I've got out of it is nothing.
That's right.
You know, it never answered anything for me.
Yeah. So. And like you said earlier, what you sow, you reap. So I'm going to sow worry. Once I start with worry in one area of my life, it's a weed. It's going to start going into my finances, and then I'm worried about financial insecurity, all this other stuff. Everything's what the kids leaving the house. It becomes consuming. Mm-hmm. It's a consuming, and it is, because first of all, sin's combustible. It all day long you will feel the burn of worry because you're allowing not purity. You got to burn through that stuff and get to the other side of it. You know, and only the word. You change one thought. You could change, if you put the word in there, you know, and it changes everything. It changes your attitude, everything. If you put God's word instead of worry, you peace. He has tons of scripture that you can put in place of that worry. And even if at first you don't even truly believe it, keep saying it, because faith comes by hearing and hearing his word. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you start to get, your heart starts to get transformed, and your mind and your body.
And on that note, earlier when you mentioned faith, I wanted to say, you know, faith is believing God's promises.
Right. Amen. You know? Amen.
And the doctor says you're going to die, and you say, no, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed.
That's right.
You need to know what the word says, though, because
right.
these are promises. This is our will. If someone left you some 1950-something Ferrari that was worth like $10 million, and then you went to get it, and somebody's like, no, that's, I'm going to take that. And like, no, that's mine. It's right here. Look, read the will. That is my car. Mm-hmm. Read the will. The devil says you're going to die. No, I am healed. You know, it's, so we need to read that word,
that's right.
know what the promises are.
And have the scripture.
And read it like reading. I always say this, I know, but it's like having you get a new Mercedes and then you can't figure out how to run nothing, and you're like, just read the owner's manual. You're not reading the owner's manual to get the stuff. You already have it. You're reading it
to know
how to operate
it.
So
mm-hmm.
we read to see what
Amen.
God has given us, these precious
right.
promises, and we're just not even realizing it. So as we read, we learn what we've been given.
Amen. Amen. It's not trying to get it. It's right. trying to be able to use it properly, because sometimes you might know you have something, but you're not putting it in the right place. So we're mismanaging it, too. He teaches us how to manage his word in our life, you know?
And if I didn't take time to read the owner's manual, then I would come to somebody like James,
exactly.
who already knows about the owner's manual. So I would go to him. I'm too lazy to read it. Hey, solve this problem. He tells me how to do it. Same way in Christianity.
Right.
If you've got brothers and sisters in
Amen.
Christ, and you're in a mess and you don't know what you're doing wrong,
you
go to somebody,
yes.
and they'll probably know the answer for you, and
mm-hmm.
then you get the answer, then you can live in that.
Right.
But when you said, I think it was verse 10, it said, we are his workmanship.
Yes.
Notice, it doesn't say we will be.
Right.
It says we are. And if
mm-hmm.
you are, then you are. You're not trying to be, because
That's
you
right.
already are.
Amen.
But when you hear it the first time, it seems like we need to be that.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't understand that we are that. So we continue to try to be that. And
right.
by trying to be that, you'll never know it. And you'll never manifest it, because it's manifested by believing or faith in what God has already done for you. So I go along. My first thing was, I'm the most patient man in the world. I started saying that, you know, a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon I started actually believing I was the most patient man in the world.
Amen.
And every time something would come up that would cause impatience out of the inside of me would come up, you're the most patient man in the world. And before I did it, I stopped, because it was in
there. Right.
Well, then I got to the place where I have no more bad days. Got T-shirts with that on. No more bad
That's
days.
Right.
I'm not going to worry anymore. No more bad days. And I tell you, you wear those shirts and stuff
That's
out.
Right.
Even in the Christian community, people say, that's ridiculous. Everybody has bad days. And I said, well, you will, because you believe everybody has bad days.
That's
so
right.
don't worry. You'll have enough of your bad days to take care of you. But
so
I'm
don't
not
worry.
I'm not going
to.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry about not having any. You'll certainly have them. Don't worry. You got it. No problem.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
When I was stage 4 cancer, I was doing good. And people would, in the church, even in our church, brother, I know what you're going through. I'm like, I'm really not. No, I know what you're in. And I was like, please stop.
Mm-hmm.
You're like making me start to feel that. I'm feeling good. Please.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
Like people just think you're going to, you know, because they would go through it.
Yeah. And, you know, when Jesus said, who do they say I am? It's like, that's what the world says I am. I'm sick. I'm this. I'm that. He said, but who do you say I am? Because if I am healed, I only have to say that. I don't even have to get deep, as long as I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because it says you can confess. But if you don't believe with your heart, it doesn't manifest the way it needs to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's two parts of confession and believing. You know, we can turn our direction. I got to believe. I also have to believe. If I'm turning towards God, I got to believe what he's saying, too, about what he's saying about the situation that I'm in. Otherwise, it'll just be words in my mind and not believing in my heart, where I'll actually speak it, believe it, and walk it out that way, you know? Because it's very easy, especially as when I was first came in the kingdom, my son was just, he was young, he was like mm-hmm. 3, 4, right? And you share it sometimes too, and it's very true. You go to a bus stop with other parents, and before you go, you got one eye, you're limping home because they're talking about everything that's out there, who got what, and you can fall right into the trap.
Mm-hmm.
But you can stand there and say, no, I'm healed by your stripes. I put a hedge of protection around my son. God bless you. Get on the bus, you know, and you pray.
And it's got to do with your thought life. You were talking about healing in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. It says, my son or my daughter, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh.
Amen.
So what am I going to do when a symptom hits my body? I don't go to the doctor. I go to the word.
Yes.
Because I need more word. I want to get my mind back on the word, because the first thing that's going to be affected in anything is your thought life. You're going to start to worry. You're going to start to fear. I'm telling you, worry and fear are twins. They come together.
Yes.
You know, whenever you start one, it gets into the other one. They're like brothers and sisters or whatever. They're there. Yeah. So once you start worrying, then you get off into fear. But the word of God in your mind is what convinces you, you know, up out of your spirit. It's called revelation of that everything God has provided for you. And you'll come to a place where you don't have to see it in order to believe it. That's the hard part. Mm-hmm. Because we live by sight our whole life until we get born again and get in the kingdom. And now God's telling us things that we don't see in the natural realm. So I'm going to have to come to a place where I believe what God says rather than what I'm going through, and that's hard to do. And who was it? Paul said, look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, because the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen, they are eternal. So I'm going to have to focus. And that sight he's talking about is not really your natural eyes. It's what you see in your imagination. Do you see yourself worry-free, or do you see yourself as a worrier?
Right.
Do you see yourself a faith person or a fear person, an impatient person? And you listen to people. I'm just so impatient. I tell you what, I just can't get along with anybody. And it's just the way I am, and it's the way I'm always going to be. And well, that's not what God, unless you can find that in Proverbs, unless you can find it in Psalms, then you can't be claiming that stuff, because that's not who God made you. You are his work. Workmanship, not yours. So basically, you've got to change the way that you think and start believing. I mean, you believe you're going to heaven right now, and I guarantee you probably haven't been there.
Right.
You know, and you're not fearful about not going to heaven when you die, because you know that's where you're going if you truly had an experience with God and you're born again. So you're believing in something that you haven't seen and a place you're going to go without being there. And it can get that way with your health and with your peace and with your joy and with everything else. But it takes the word of God in you to be planted like a seed. And like the Bible says, it will grow on the inside of you and convince you of these things, that I'm not a worrier. And other people come up with worry things, and you say, what do you think? I think I don't worry. You know, what do you think about the virus going around? I think it goes right around my house.
That's right.
Because we don't deal in that kind of stuff. We don't do that kind of stuff anymore. We're kingdom people. We're not Christian people who can hug each other and I'm just concerned. And, oh, my kids and la, la, la and all that stuff. It's not the way to live, because the only person you're hurting is you. You're beating yourself up all the time.
And, you know, when we do say things like, well, it's always been that way, or that, then you're getting right back into the tradition, and that's the Adamite thinking, because if it's not lined up with God's word, then it's not it's the world, it's God, it's not God, it's not him. So right away, if does God say that he worries? Did he ever say that he worries? Never. So if there's worry, or if there's an old belief system that's going on, if God says who you are is love, peace, joy, all these things live in us, and he wants to manifest who we are. We're righteous. We're holy. We're wonderfully and beautifully made. Anything outside of those things are not of God. They're of the old thinking, the tradition. If the moment I say, oh, well, that's the way my family used to do it, then I'm back in Adam's family. And I don't want to be in Adam's family. Mm-hmm. I want to be in Christ's family. Jesus Christ, he died for me and everybody listening. And his family is very different. And he shares his family with us in the word of God. We're a royal family. A royal family that doesn't lack. And if it does, it's because it's not living according to the way the king wants him to live.
Yeah, that was I used to watch that show when I was a kid. And that's a heck of a family. The Addams Family.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Addams Family.
Right. I'm sure you got a cousin in. You don't want to be part of that family.
Yeah.
I used to be part of that family.
Yeah. I think we're all part of that family at one time, basically. So,
yeah.
And he says, you know, there's two ways you can go. You can go to the narrow way, or you can go to the broad way. That means there's a lot more people going to the broad way than there is the narrow way. And if you go in the narrow way, people are going to think that you're a little bit crazy, that you're out there, that you're fanatic, that you're nuts, but it's the word of God. And sooner or later, they'll think you're nuts, crazy, but then they'll know you're healed, blessed, and anointed too. And they'll start to say, well, what happened? And you can just say, you know, God did it. Yes. I didn't do it. What did you do? Did you ever hear that?
Yes.
What did you do to become such an anointed pastor?
How do I get
nothing.
Here?
I got born again and he anointed me. How's that for that?
Exactly.
It's not how long I prayed. And, you know, I listened to a lot of ministers when I first got in, and some of them prayed for 4 hours before they preached. And I tried that, and I got about lost my whole family because they were about to kill me because I was trying to hide for 4 hours. And, no, you're anointed. Why? Uh-huh. He anointed you. Why? Because he needed you anointed. Be anointed and do what he wants you to do because we're put here for him again.
Amen.
He's not put here for us, so he needs us to succeed. He needs us to be in peace, joy, power, all that stuff, to further his kingdom, because that's what he wants to do here, is extend his kingdom into the earth realm.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, there's a cartoon or a meme on Facebook. I see it every once in a while, and it's a very broad road, and they're like, and a whole bunch of people going, we're Christians, and then there's a little narrow, we're followers. Because it's very different.
Obedient.
Yeah, we're obedient. Yeah, like it's two different things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you could say, that you're born again and everything. And yes, you perhaps are born again, but if you're not in obedience with the Lord, then you're not getting the eternal rewards, the true peace, the true joy, the never ending. Like it's very big difference. And your life emulates it. What would I say? Glows it. What's another word for that? You will see it in people. You know them by their fruit.
When we walk in love, we fulfill the law.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 13:8.
Yeah.
People even put on the internet sometime, and when you're in the pit, just cry out to God and he'll help you. And that's true. He will. But get out of the pit.
Right.
Just quit going into the pit. Right. You don't have to keep getting you out of the pit. You're not in the pit to begin with. But see, that sounds good. I was in the pit several times and God brought me out and everybody, yay, God. And God brought you out the day you got born again, basically, because it was provided for you. You just don't know it. So you keep going back in the pit and keep getting pulled out of the pit.
Right.
But you don't have to live a pit life.
That's right.
That's not the way you need to live. You need to live a joyous life. We want to be people see you and say, hey, something's different about you.
That's
and you
right.
say, oh, yeah, you got joy. Yeah. If everything and everybody thinks everything's going great, it's not going great. You just live in joy, whether it is or it isn't.
Amen.
You live in peace,
and
whether it is or isn't.
Say that, Pastor.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, and I know there are people listening saying, well, you don't, it doesn't matter what we're going through because you can go through it a lot easier with peace and joy. And if you make that decision every day, even though it looks like all hell is breaking loose, the peace is in the center of the storm. And I put on my little notes here. I'm either self-centered or God-centered. I choose how I want to experience that storm. It's not the storm that's going to cause chaos in my life. It's my thoughts that are going to cause chaos. If I see the storm and I want to put my hand in it and try to grab something out of it, that right there is not my place. If God needs me to have anything in there, he'll bring it to me in the center of it. I don't have to go reaching out trying to change things or make things happen. He will do it. All I have to do is be obedient to his word, meaning follow his word, speak his word, think his word, believe his word. How will people see that you're different if you're doing exactly what everybody else does when they're going through a trial, right? If you're the one speaking life during where it looks like death is all around you, then you're the one that will glow. That's what I meant. Mm-hmm. Glow the glory of God. Because they'll be like, how can that person be saying that? When I had cancer, I would always say, I'm healed by a stripe. Even when I couldn't even talk, I'm healed. People will look at my own family. We're like, okay, just let her say what she needs to say.
Yeah.
She's a little crazy, But I kept on standing on that word, and then God can manifest because I'm giving him permission every day to show himself to people. It's not even for myself. That was because I already knew I was healed. It doesn't matter if I left the earth, if I leave the earth in 1 hour from now, I'm healed. It doesn't matter what happens to me,
If you could get, I just thought of this when you were talking about worry. If you could get someone, which would be very hard to do, if you could get them to write down every time they're worried, what they're worried about, and just do that for like 4 months, and then look back at it in 4 months, how much of it happened, maybe one thing.
That's right.
Most of it's in
the mind.
That would really help somebody get free, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jesus broke down the kingdom for us. Just read the parables. That's what they were. They were people who were having trouble understanding the kingdom, which is most of us.
Yes.
But then the Spirit of God can go to work. And at one place he said the kingdom of God is like this great banquet that's already provided for everybody there. But he got a hold of one group and, I'm getting married. I can't come right now. I got a wife. Well, how do you know he should have went to the banquet? If he was getting married, he should have been the first one there. Or I bought this and I got an ox. Now I got to work my field. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got an excuse for not seeking the kingdom of God or coming to the kingdom kind of lifestyle. And just stay in this normal Christianity of we're up one day, we're down one day. We love somebody one day, we hate somebody the next day. Maybe God will, maybe God won't. If he's in a good mood, he'll provide for me. If he's not in a good mood, he won't provide for me. Nobody's doing much better than I am anyway. What's the difference? I'm doing pretty good compared to everybody else. You can stay there and you can live there if you want to, but you're wasting days.
That's
you're
time.
Wasting hours. There is a life and life more abundantly for you in the kingdom of God.
Amen. Yes. Amen. And he wants us to partake right now. He's a now God. You know, he says, forget about yesterday, and tomorrow didn't even come. So it's in this moment. And that's why it's daily bread. It's daily. It's daily sanctification. I got to get this brainwashed every morning, you know. And every night I usually try to clean it up and say, okay, God, is there anything I need to be, you know, coming to you for or repenting, whatever it is. Because in the morning, I want to be able to present myself properly to the Lord too. So it is. It's a daily relationship. I can't say I know Jesus and I'm married and then never spend time with my husband. You know, I mean, yes, legally I might be married. Legally, I'm born again, but I don't know anything about him or what that relationship is about. Being born again. What is being born again about? Don't you want to know? I wanted to know. I mean, yes, it's a great experience, but then like Pastor Tom started this whole. Talk was, and then you get back into the grind again and the thing, and well, I'm born again. And it's not, well, I'm born again. It's, I'm born again. There's so much excitement in being born again. There's so much life in being born again. And there's so much protection in being born again. You don't have to be affected by people, places, and things around you. And you don't have to submit to false prophets like alcohol or worry, those things. We have to know the difference. You know, once I choose outside people, places, and things outside of God and his word, then I'm making other things more important than him because I'm relying on those things to give me what only God can give me. He says he's going to take care of, provide all my peace, security, finance. He's going to bring all of that upon me as I need it. And as I need it for his will, it flows a lot easier when I'm, because he wants to provide for himself. What he needs me to do so that he can get where he needs to be, the work done that he's doing. He's not going to give me lack if he wants to get something done through me. But I have to say, okay, Lord, how do you want to use me? What's the assignment for the day? It's not, you know, and then days accumulate and you realize, wow, this is how I got to this place, the other side of that mountain, one step at a time, you know?
Yeah, when I was out in Idaho, I went out there for a baseball tournament recently, and of course I took my No More Bad Days t-shirt, and I took books along. Uh-huh. And as I walked in, you know, into the stadium and stuff, and somebody was clicking your thing, and I would hand them a book, you know, and they'd say, oh, this is a Christian book? Oh, I'm a Christian, but I just haven't really done very well. I don't really go to church. I don't really, And I just say, well, you don't have to go to church. I mean, if you're really born again, you're going to go to heaven. Right. But I said, God ordained church. It's not really a churchy thing. It's a training center.
Amen.
That person there is anointed, apostle, pastor, whoever they are, to teach you and grow you up so that you live a successful life. The only person you're hurting by not going to church is not God.
No.
He don't fall off his throne every Sunday you miss. He gives you the option,
right.
And he offers you a place where you can go and grow up in
and
the things
grow.
Of God and be a spiritual person and do those things. And I think everybody I handed a book all at once started apologizing. I said, don't apologize to me that you're not going to church. Read the book then. If you want to go, go. But you need to go. Yeah. You need to. So God's not saying, you ain't going to church. All right, that's one black mark. Two more and you're going to flunk kindergarten. You know, that's what we basically think. But that's not it. God's offering a way to do that. You need to be trained, and people need to be trained in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
But if we're not teaching about the kingdom of God, people are not being trained in the kingdom of God way of thinking, and you're going to think like a Christian your whole life. Still, you know, 50 years in the church trying to become holy and trying to become righteous and trying to be anointed and trying to fulfill your call. Well, the reason why God gave you all those things was so you could start fulfilling your call now rather than when you die and go to heaven on the inside of you. It's already there. You've just got to reduce it and let it go.
And, you know, people say, well, I'm a good person, or this, you know, when you're righteous, goodness comes. It's not I've got to be good to get righteous. It's I am righteous, and then the goodness in me starts to flow out because goodness lives in me. And love. I don't have to try to love to get, you know, relationship. I have to get relationship, and love starts to flow mm-hmm. out of me. So it's a sacrifice. You got to make time. You got to give yourself. Give up yourself to himself. So it's like placing yourself in him and stop being, it's not about me anymore. Selfish, self-centered, you know, self-reliant. Like all these things, self-help. I mean, the world has just focused on self, basically. They gave us permission to do that. And we have to get out of that because God says, come into himself. Mm-hmm. So get yourself out of yourself into himself and watch how your life starts to flow.
I feel like I'm supposed to read a scripture here.
Yeah.
Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, which we all know we're sinners. We have no problem with that. The devil makes that easy. So by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. And that's where we have the problem. And we're immediately made in right standing with
Amen.
God. So I felt like people were listening, thinking, oh, they think they're righteous. Well, the Lord made us righteous.
Amen, amen.
Just understanding what righteousness is, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you'll never, if we live as beggars, we won't see much flow. But if we understand we're the king's kids that got stolen by the enemy, and he has paid the price to restore us back to him, because we are his children.
That's right.
Then we'll walk as ambassadors in the world like we're supposed to.
Amen.
Exercising God's authority that he's gave us.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
And you
fruit.
Don't do good works to become righteous. You
That's
do
right.
good works because you
are righteous.
Righteous.
Exactly.
And once you become righteous, I mean, whatever you decide that you're going to be according to God and in line with God's word, it's going to start to manifest in your
That's
life.
Right.
And if you want to know what you're really believing, just record what you talk in a 24-hour period.
Amen.
And you'll find out
Use
who
your
you
phone.
Who
yeah.
you think you are, where you think you are, or you know, I'm just so bad. I'm just so dumb. I'm just so terrible. I just don't understand. I just and at the end of the day you think, why am I depressed? Well, because you talked yourself into being a depressed person. Mm-hmm. No, put the word of God in your mouth. I'm holy. I'm righteous. I'm blessed. Why? Because God created me that way. I'm a brand new creation in Christ
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Thank God the old Amen. Things have passed away
Amen.
And all things have become new. Praise
That's
God.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. So good. So if you do want a book from Pastor Tom, it's What Now and Kingdom Now. You can always contact me, Lou Ann Linekin, 631-745-7980, and we'll get you a book. Also, you can go to Treasure Coast Victory Center. We call it a center because it is a training center.
Yes.
So praise the Lord. And that's in Fort Pierce, and you can call me also. It's 3212 South US 1, Highway 1. And we have Wednesday service, well, teachings and preaching on Sunday at 10:30 and Wednesdays at 7. So with that, Pastor, you want to – I don't know.
Wednesdays at 7:30.
Oh, 7:30. Sorry.
But you can come at 7.
But I'm there at 6.
Yeah, she's there. She's there early because she sings and everything. Yeah. I just thank God, and I just want to say right now, I just pray for each and every person out there right now. I pray that what's on the inside of you would start to manifest mm-hmm. out of the inside of you as you get in the Word of God, get hungry for it. As you believe the Word of God on purpose, you start confessing the Word of God and understanding the Word of God. God has so much for you. He has so much he wants to do through you, but he has to get you out of the rut that we all get in sometimes where we just get stuck in the mud and stuck in the mud. So right now, I ask rise on the inside right now, that you rise up in Jesus' name. You get hungry for the Word
yes,
of God.
Lord.
You read in there. Get your little crayons out where it says you're blessed. To
yes.
Color it where it says you're anointed. Color it. And just move on with the things of God. And we just thank the Holy Spirit now for doing the work in you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen.
Amen. And you're listening to Kingdom Recovery, WCNO 89.9. It's 5 o'clock every Friday. We're on. And we agape you. Shalom, shalom. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God."
Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-422-4374.
The Treasure Coast Christian Alliance is a growing association of leaders from the business, civic, and ministry areas on the Treasure Coast of Florida. In these blessed communities, we reside, work, play, and pray together. Our mission is to encourage strong relationships among God's people through Holy Spirit-anointed fellowship. Leaders inspired to overcome